Good morning. Good morning. There we go. All right, while the kids are herding to the back, I invite you to grab your service flyer and flip to the back for our text for today. Comes from Mark, the first chapter, beginning at the 14th verse, and it says, "Now after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee, proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, 'The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel.' Passing alongside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men.' And immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on a little farther, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were in their boat mending the nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and followed him." This is the text for today. Well, I'm glad to be here with you this morning. If you're new with us today, my name is Pastor Justin. I'm one of the associate pastors here at Grace. And we're in the middle of a sermon series, and the series is entitled, "Are You?" And it's asking different questions. And today's question is this: are you following? Are you following? And I want to start off by being real with you all, because I have been where you are. I have sat out there and listened to pastors preach before, and I've heard this sermon so many times, the following message, you know, "Are you following?" And I've heard it so many times. And there have been so many times that I've walked out of church going, "That guy just doesn't get it." And I want to avoid that here today. I want to get us on the same page. Because sometimes when we have texts like this, where, you know, four guys are busy working, and all of a sudden Jesus walks by the sea and says, "Come follow me," and they just drop everything, families, everything, and go. The pastor says something like, "And that's our calling. Everybody, just drop everything, go." And you think, "I'm going to stand up here and tell you that you need to leave this place, sell your house, sell all your possessions, go to some distant place and do God's work there." Or if you think, "I'm going to come up here and tell you, you know what, you need to leave your family, forget them, go and do God's work, go to some distant country, just leave them behind, don't worry about any of that." You know, or I love this one, you know, where a pastor gets up and he talks about all the different apostles and how they were brutally and savagely murdered, you know, and he tells you that and he says, "So get in there and you do it too." And you step back and they're like, "Yeah, right. Like, what world are you living in, dude? Like, I walk out of here going, yeah, that's for somebody else." You know, you sit here with these big talks and high expectations of following, and that's not realistic. Nobody does that. Nobody does that. And so you walk out here saying, "Oh, pastor just doesn't get us. Pastor doesn't understand." Nobody does those things. That's so unrealistic. And pastor leaves saying, "I don't think they got it." And so I want to get us on the same page here. And the first thing you need to understand is this. While the pastor standing up here and saying, "Sell everything you have, go and serve the Lord," or "Don't be afraid to go and die and be a martyr for God," it is very much ridiculous and crazy. It is also happening every day all around this world right now. See, what you all might not recognize as evangelical Christians in America in 2015 is in other parts of the world, they literally say, "Believe in Jesus and we're going to hunt you down and kill your entire family." And there are people that stand up and say, "Bring it. I'm believing in Jesus." And so while we sit there and say, "Oh, that's so ridiculous. People are being martyred. Oh, God, you know, God's not calling me to be martyred." Okay, you're right. That might not be what God is calling you to do. But God is calling certain people in this world right now to do that. And more people have been martyred in the last 10 years than in any other time in history. It is rapidly going on all over the world right now. So it's not ridiculous to say such a thing. And for those of you that sit there and say, "Well, you know, sell all your possessions and go to some distant land and be some street evangelist or something like that," that's ridiculous. Okay, yeah, that might not be your calling. But there are people across the country and across the world right now doing that very thing because God came and called them to do that. So don't mock it. What we are going to talk today about is having an authentic conversation. I realize these are incredible bars to set, and not all of us, many of us, most of us, are not called to do those things. But what I do want to talk about today is you are called to follow something, and we're going to talk about what that is. What is it for you? And, you know, I'm not saying you need to go out there and be the next street evangelist. You know, some people have that calling. A lot of them don't do it anyways. And, you know, that's just what's happening. But I just want you to be real with yourself. Because the big thing that we have to catch is this. You sitting right here in this room looking at me right now, you people have been placed exactly where you are in your life for a God-given purpose. And your life is not insignificant to God and His mission. You are very significant to the mission of God. Right where you are, right what you're doing. All of us in this room right now are significant to God. And God has a mission and a purpose for each one of us that is very significant. And I know that sometimes we can go through life and say, I am just one of 6 billion people. I am insignificant. My mission from God is insignificant. And God says, oh, no, it's not. I don't care if it's one person. That's significant to me. And if you reach one person, that's significant to me. Where you are in your job, where you are in your family, where you are in your circle of friends, where you are in your neighborhood, God has placed you there for a reason. Absolutely 100%, you are there for a reason. And the question we're going to ask today is, are you being obedient to His calling? Because He has you there for a reason. Are you doing what He's put you there to do? And that's the question we have today. Are you following? Every single one of you is significant to the mission of God. Are you following in that mission? Are you following His calling? And so, as we talk about this, I want to be real with you guys. Following Jesus is not easy. It's not comfortable. And at times, it can be a whole lot of not fun. And we, right here today, are not the only people throughout history who have ever struggled with following God. You know, we like to think that everybody in the Bible, because they're in the Bible, is so wonderful and perfect and awesome, right? Yeah, let's look at some of those biblical characters and see how they struggled with following God. Let's take the story of Jonah. How many of you know the story of Jonah? Jonah is the prophet of God. Prophet of God among God's people. God comes to Jonah and says, hey, look, I want you to go to Nineveh, which is our enemies, the people that oppress us, that fight us, that enslave us. I want you to go to them, tell them to repent, or I'm going to take out the city. You know what Jonah says? Good! Go take it out! I'm not telling them a thing. And God says, oh, yes, you are. Go. And Jonah says, okay, I'll pack my bags. And Jonah runs the opposite direction, gets on a boat, gets out to sea. A huge storm comes, and he goes, this is because of me, guys. Throw me overboard. So they throw him overboard, and he ends up in the belly of a fish. Now, I don't know about you, and I don't know how tough your childhood was, but I would imagine none of you have been in time out for 3 straight days in the belly of a fish, okay? That is some serious stubbornness right there that God is breaking him of. 3 solid days in the belly of a fish saying, now you got some time to think about it. You going to do what I told you to do? And when the whale spits him out, he goes to the city. He tells them to repent. They do repent. And you know what Jonah does? He gets mad at God. How dare you be merciful to them? And he goes and he pouts. The great Jonah, who's in the Bible, has his own book, had trouble following God. He's not the only one. Let's take the great Moses. Moses, right? The wonderful Moses. Yeah, Moses is in the desert hiding out because he murdered somebody. God comes to him and says, we're going to take you right back to a place where they all know you're a murderer. And you know what Moses starts doing? Starts making excuses with God. He says, who am I that Pharaoh's going to listen to me? Then he says, who am I that the people are going to listen to me? Then he says, what if the people don't believe me? Then he says, you know what? I don't speak very well. I shouldn't do this. And finally, he just stops and he just says, God, please take somebody else, anybody else. That's the great Moses following God. We can keep going. I mean, it doesn't necessarily have to be rebellion. You can take the story of Samuel. Young little Samuel who hears God's voice. God saying, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel doesn't get it. And he keeps running to Eli. And Eli finally says, if you're hearing this voice, it's probably God. Ask him what he wants. Even Samuel struggled with understanding that God was calling him. Or you can take the story of Saul in the New Testament. Saul's out persecuting the church. He's out absolutely devastating God's church. And God says, oh, I'm going to break you of your will. Knocks him off his horse. Shining light blinds him. He's blind. And God says, I'm going to break you of your will. You're going to do what I tell you to do, whether you like it or not. And finally, he says, let's change your name to Paul. And Paul says, I'll do whatever you say. Let me see again. All throughout the Bible, we find tons of people that struggle following God. So this is not a new battle for us today. It is actually very natural that we struggle with this and that we rebel in this. And so please, let me teach you this. Hear me on this. Setting aside your own agenda, setting aside your own life goals, your own plans, is no easy thing to do. I admit that too. I mean, living a life where your will comes second to God's will is no piece of cake life. I wrestle with this every day. Every day, God and I have battles of me saying, I want to do this. I want to accomplish this. I want my life to go this way. And God going, yeah, it's going to be my way. Or I'm going to have to break your will into it. And that doesn't go well for you. I struggle with this too. And so when we look at this and we see how hard it is to follow, it's amazing when we get the stories in the Bible of the people that get it right. It's amazing. You know, we take the story of Abraham. God comes to Abraham and says, I'm going to move you away from your people, far, far away, but I'm going to give you a nice blessing. And Abraham says, cool, let's do this, let's go. Not everybody would do that. And that's why we study the faith of Abraham. And then you can take this story that we have here today in our text, in Mark. Four guys out doing their life, Jesus comes by and says, hey, follow me, I'm going to make you fishers of men. And they say, sweet, let's go. It's an incredible story. And the point of the story is not that you go out and drop everything too and just forsake your entire life because God is giving you a mission right where you're at. The point of the story is this. God called them to something specific and he said, follow. And they immediately followed. And today what you need to catch is God is calling you to something specific too. And you need to do everything you can to immediately follow him. And here's the thing. While we look at these stories of these guys that follow after Jesus and Abraham, they took those first steps so easily. And so many of us would struggle to take that first step. And we know the first step is always the hardest. The first step of following is always the hardest. But here's the thing about following God. Sometimes, even after we take that hard first step, it actually doesn't get any easier following God. Sometimes the path he's called us to is not very great at all. But it's the path he's called us to. I mean, we can take the story of Moses once again. God comes to Moses. He says, go to Pharaoh, the most powerful man in the world at this time, the leader of Egypt. Take him on and then grab 1 million of my people and march them through the desert to the promised land. Okay? So then he goes, he does it, he overtakes Pharaoh through God's power. And he has the people, they're out in the wilderness. And you know what the people do the entire time? Do they say, thank you, Moses, for coming and getting us? No. Every step of the way, they rebel. Every step of the way, they complain. And they say, we want to go back to slavery. Every step of the way, they're backstabbing him and against him. And he's crying out to God, I didn't even want this job in the first place. And these people are terrible. You deal with them. I don't want to do anything with them. And God keeps saying, come on, Moses, you can do this. And he keeps having to deal with these people. And then you know what ends up happening? God looks at them and he says, you know what? You guys just don't get it. 40 years in the desert. That's your sentence. And Moses, can you imagine being Moses? God, I didn't want this job in the first place, and now you just sent us all to 40 years in the desert? I am trapped with these people for 40 more years? I was signing on for a temp job. You're talking about a lifetime. 40 years with these backstabbers. And did they get any easier on Moses during those 40 years? No. They complained and grumbled and backstabbed because church folk have changed a lot since then, right? Yeah. But he has to deal with this. And how many of you would sit there and say, wow, Moses was a failure? No way. He followed God and it wasn't fun. And here's the worst part of the story of Moses. At the very end, they get right to the edge of the promised land. He gets to go up onto the mountain. The clouds part. He sees the promised land, the milk and honey, the promised land. And God says, you're going to die, and I'm going to let Joshua take him in. He deals with 40 years of these insufferable people, and right before it gets awesome, God calls him home. How many of you would sign up for that, huh? But God said, follow, and Moses followed, and it wasn't pretty. And so some of the tough things about following God is that it's hard to take that first step, but even after you start following him, it doesn't get any easier. Let's look at this. Following God isn't always successful. Look at the story of Jeremiah, the prophet Jeremiah. God comes to him, and he says, Jeremiah, say what I tell you to say, do what I tell you to do, and big things are going to happen. And Jeremiah's like, all right. So Jeremiah goes around and he starts telling everybody exactly what God says for them to do. And you know what happens? Every time he opens his mouth, he gets beaten and thrown into a ditch. And finally, this is happening so much that he cries out to God and he says, God, you have seduced me. You have fed me a bunch of lies. And you know how the story of Jeremiah ends? The very people he was sitting there to rescue, to get them to listen to God's word, they never listen. And all of them, including Jeremiah, go into exile. And by worldly standards, we would say, woo, it didn't pay off to follow God there. You were not successful. By God's eyes, was he successful? Absolutely. Because he continually told them what they were supposed to hear. It didn't end up good for him on this earth, but that's not what we aim for, is it? Or you can take another story. This story started off in our text for today, Mark 1, very first line. Now, after John was arrested, who's the John he's talking about? John the Baptist. What's John the Baptist's story? Yeah? John the Baptist, he's told by God to go out into the wilderness and start baptizing people. Does it. And he tells people to repent. He does exactly God's will. He's doing all these wonderful things. And then what? The king takes his brother's wife. And he goes faithfully to the king and says, what you've done is wrong. You need to repent. And he's thrown into prison. The great John the Baptist is in prison. And he's stepping back and he's saying, oh, this doesn't seem right. This is not what I signed up for. And so he sends his messengers to go to Jesus and say, are you really the Messiah? Are you the one to come? Or should we be expecting somebody else? Because this is not playing out well for me. And Jesus says, okay, go back and tell him this. And he starts quoting the book of Isaiah, all the things that the Messiah is going to do. And he leaves out one part, set the prisoners free. Set the prisoners free, he leaves out. And so they go back and they say, yeah, he's not coming to rescue you. And you got to imagine John's just stepping back and saying, this is not how I saw this playing out. I thought, you know, I was doing all these good things. I was following. It was going to go well for me. I was going to retire. Things were going to be nice. I didn't see it going this way. And how does his end come? He's pulled out of prison, taken in front of the king, and beheaded. That's John the Baptist. And we step back and we go, wow, following God might not go well for me. Why would I do it? And that's what we have to wrestle with today. That's what we have to wrestle with today. Because the thing is, the thing that's hard for the people in the Bible and for us to catch today is it's not about us. And that's a challenge for us. Because we think, well, I'm really special and I do really important things. And of course God wants to use me. Look at me. I'm wonderful. Of course God wants to use me. Of course I'm special. But here's the thing that we learn. Have you ever noticed how long funerals last in the Bible? The great Moses, right? The great Moses. Go to that text. It says, Moses died, period. And then Joshua, that's it. And we're like, whoa, shouldn't Moses have like 6 or 7 chapters talking about how great he was? No, because it's not about Moses. It's God's story, not Moses' story. And that's hard for us to catch. That the mission is this, that the man goes in the ground and the mission goes on. That's how it works. God says follow, and we have this little blip of life to follow, and then we go, and the mission goes on. The mission is what prevails. The mission is what's important. We just get to be little tiny players along the way. But the thing is nothing that we do is insignificant, because God has a mission for you. God has a calling for you, and he's calling you to follow in it. And so we look at our text here today, and what's incredible is what we've already pointed out here. Jesus, after John is arrested, goes to Galilee, which is where the king who has him in prison, that's his land. Jesus goes right in there and starts preaching. And then he's walking along the sea and he sees some people that he knows. He knows the first two, Simon and Andrew. Says, come on, follow me. They say, awesome, let's do it. And then he goes and sees John and James and he says, come follow me. And they do it. And we look at this, and this is incredible. I mean, business, wealth, family, all of that is just secondary to them, and they just immediately go and follow. And so today, like I said earlier, I'm not saying sell everything and go. I'm saying, what is God calling you to? What are you supposed to be following in? Because Jesus is always calling. Jesus is always calling. And throughout the scriptures, we see 3 stages of life that he calls us into. 3 stages. And the first one is this, to believe. The first calling that he has for every one of our lives is to believe. And so if you're here today and this is either your first time or you've been wrestling with God or doubts with God or you're just here out of ritual but you have no relationship with God, the first thing God calls all of us to is to believe, to put our faith and our trust in our Savior Jesus Christ, to understand that he is enough and he is all we need, that the only thing for salvation that is needed is faith in Jesus Christ. And the sign of the graduation of that first stage is baptism. We go before the Lord and we say, mark me as your own and bring me into your family. And that's the first stage, to believe. Then we move on to the second stage that he calls us into. And that's to follow. Our topic for today, to follow. And what it is walking the walk. God says, now that you believe, here's everything that I've been calling you to. Start to walk the walk. And we see this in so many ways in our lives. There's so many ways to follow him. You can do it by repenting publicly. You learn now that you believe that when you mess up in front of people, you need to publicly repent so that people see you do that kind of thing. You need to be a reconciler. Where there are broken relationships in your life, you need to be a reconciler and go and fix them. You need to clean up your language. You need to clean up your behavior. You need to worship him regularly. You need to teach your kids about God. You need to lead your family towards God. You need to start a relationship and conversation with God through prayer. These are the things you do when you follow. You learn that his will comes first and your will comes second. You grow in walking in the walk. You grow in your knowledge of him. You grow in your understanding of money, that the money you have is a blessing from him to you, and that you give back to him and honor him in that way. You learn to use your abilities to serve. You begin looking around you for those in need, how you can serve. And you begin to respond to the nudges of the Holy Spirit in your heart. And what that means is there are times that you're in conversation with somebody and they say something and you know, I need to ask that follow-up question. I need to dive a little deeper there. I need to say something about that. That's the Holy Spirit nudging at your heart saying, do this. And you learn through following to do those things. Or when you're driving and you see that need and you say, I really need to stop and do something. You learn to work with the Holy Spirit and act on those things. That's what following is. It's taking that maturity of that next step in your walk. And the third step that we see in the scriptures is to discipleship. The third thing he calls us to is discipleship. And that's a leader among leaders. That's someone that is following in their depth, in their growth, of their maturity, of their faith. They begin to understand, I need to be leading people to Christ and leading other followers to a deeper and stronger understanding of Christ. But today we really want to focus on you. Because you're somewhere in all of that. What is God calling you to right now? Is he calling you to believe? Is he calling you to follow? Is he calling you to follow stronger and deeper? Is he calling you to discipleship? What is God calling you to? Because whatever it is, our question for today is this. Are you following? Are you following? And the beauty of following is this, that it's a long line of followers. It's the people that are literally like right behind Jesus, the Mother Teresa's that are like right on his heels in wonderfulness, all the way to the very back, to the person that's sitting in prison who's done deplorable things, who just heard about Jesus for the first time and take his very first step. All of them are followers. All of them grow in their faith and their maturity and in their walk. And we're all somewhere in there. And so today, as we go home, the things we need to think about are this. I am being called to follow. And here's the big two takeaways that you need to take. The first one is this. Christ has called me to follow him. Now that I believe in him, Christ has called me to follow him. And what that means is not everything is going to go well for me in my life. See, a lot of times people get the gospel confused. They think the gospel sounds something like this. Believe in Jesus and everything is going to go well for you. Everything is going to come out well in the end. Everything is going to go great. That's not the gospel. The gospel is believe in Jesus Christ and you get a Savior, Jesus Christ, and he is all you need. That's the gospel. That every storm of our life, every challenge that comes up, every trial and tribulation that comes up, we have Jesus Christ, and he is enough, and he is all we need. That's the good news of the gospel. And so the first thing we have to understand is that when we follow God, there are going to be pitfalls along the way. There are going to be challenges. There are going to be storms. And we have Jesus Christ with us who will help us persevere through the storms because we need to follow in the good times and the bad. We need to follow when we're on the mountain high and when we're in the valley. We need to continue to follow and put our faith in Jesus Christ in all times and all situations. And understand that when you start following, it doesn't go easy all the time. And the second thing we need to learn about following is this. Jesus is not asking you to do something alone. And he is not asking you to do something he hasn't already done. See, Jesus has been unpopular before. He has. Jesus has lost some friends. He's actually talked and watched like everybody leave. He has. Jesus has been told off. Jesus has been spit on. Jesus has been beaten. Jesus has been judged. Jesus has been killed. So he knows exactly what he's asking you to do, and he knows exactly what the costs are, and he still calls you to follow him. And see, the beauty of this is that he's not calling you to follow him alone. He is out in front of us saying, follow me. I'm out in front. Follow me. And we like to believe that when Jesus is out in front saying, follow me, it's to this beautiful retirement, paradise, bliss, waterfalls, and everything. No, not right now. Jesus is the soldier in the middle of the battle, the lieutenant who runs out of the embankment and says, follow me into the fray because there are people that need saved and rescued and that are hurt and in need of us. And he says, follow me into the fray. Your reward is to come. The bliss and the wonderfulness, that'll come. Right now, I need followers in the fray with me. I need soldiers going arm in arm with me. And that's what he calls us to. I love this verse from Isaiah 52:7. It says, how beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, your God reigns. That's the followers that Jesus needs. The beautiful feet that will follow him, that will run the mountains to tell the people that need to hear it, the people in darkness that need the light, your God reigns. To tell the people that are hurting and in pain and lost and in sorrow, your God reigns. He needs followers. He needs those beautiful feet that come after him, that are following him into the fray to shout, your God reigns. You are going to do a lot of things in your life. You're going to do a lot of things. I hope one of them is to sit by the bedside of somebody who's passing away for this reason. Because when someone has time to contemplate their life in their final days, final moments, I've had the privilege of being there for some. Inevitably, the same question comes up. They go through their life, the things they've done, and they ask this question, was it worth it? I know what I did in this life. I know what I accomplished. They ask, was it worth it? And it's important for you to see it and to put that priority in place because it's a powerful question. Was it worth it? Friends, I will tell you this. Following Jesus Christ is worth it. It is a life that is lived well. It is a life that is lived with purpose. And when we take that final breath, and then we go into glory and we hear, well done, good and faithful servant. You followed well. Friends, that is all the joy we need. To know that we have served in that little space of time that we had well. And we followed well. And that the mission goes on and we go to glory. That's a life lived well. And that's my prayer for you. That you would follow him with strength and vigor, and courage, and live a life of following him well. Will you bow your heads and close your eyes and join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, following you is no easy task, and we know that, and we don't take it lightly. Lord, a lot of us are fearful of what that might mean. A lot of us are fearful to change our own lives or our own opinions of what we should do, to change our own will to follow you. Lord, give us strength and courage to make your will come first. Lord, let us know your calling in our lives. Speak to us and tell us what you would have us do and give us the strength and the courage to follow that. Lord, we pray that you would use us in a powerful way. We know that we are not insignificant to you, that we are a major part of your mission. Each one of us placed in our family, in our job, you have put us there to do your mission. Lord, give us strength and courage to do that mission. And let us serve you well and let us follow with strength and vigor. All of this we lift up in your name. Amen. At this time, we have the opportunity.